It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We hear so much about what's trending, what's in or out, and what is so 5 minutes ago. But who determines what is trending? How long does a trend last? And does it differ from a fad? Joining us to answer these questions is Vice President for Marketing Insights, Marty McGough. He works for Campos Research Strategy. Marty McGough, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thanks, Paul.
Let's begin with the obvious question. What is a trend?
Well, I would define it this way. It's the general direction behavior is moving or shifting towards. It develops or changes over time. And if you think about it, something that's increasing or decreasing. For example, people using their smartphones to scan, take pictures of products and comparison shop. That's an example of a trend. I mean, we couldn't do that at one time because the technology didn't exist. But the behavior grew out over time as technology evolved, and now it's become kind of the norm.
Tell us what distinguishes a fad from a trend.
Oh, sure. I think of a fad most importantly, its lifespan. A fad is a short-lived thing. It pops up. We love it. We all have to have it. Then it gets played out, and we forget about it and move on. Like an example might be Jennifer Aniston haircut, the pet rock in the 70s when I was a kid.
The Rachel haircut, that
yeah,
from Friends?
Yeah, the Jennifer Aniston haircut is a fad, not a trend. Another fad would be the pet rock from the 70s when I grew up.
The pet rock.
You know, it's there. Everyone loves it, and then it goes away.
Sure.
The hottest Christmas toy each year. And you could almost include diets, like fad diets as a fad, you know. So a trend has the potential of having a lasting influence on people's behavior. A fad does not. And there's several kinds of trends. All impact the way we live and behave. At the far end of the spectrum is the biggie. You've heard megatrend? It's been thrown around. Megatrend has a lasting impact. Anywhere from 10 to 50 years. An example would be sustainability. I mean, everyone talks about sustainability. It's been going on for a long time.
Probably when the first Earth Day in 1970. So,
yeah, sure.
So it's been about, 45 years, almost 50.
Yeah, and it still has legs, and it impacts behavior across a broad spectrum.
That's a mega trend. Okay.
Now, at Campos, where I work, we focus on consumer trends. They stem from our economic and demographic circumstances. Consumer trends have an impact on the way we think and behave for, I'd say, 2 to 5 years. Then they can evolve into something else and new trends take their place. So we're looking in the 2 to 5 year frame.
More and more we see websites and magazines constantly monitoring what is trending. What is the genesis of a trend?
Okay. A trend stems from the intersection of circumstances in the world as we live in it at a given point in time, you know, society, culture, the economy, you know, government, people begin to behave in a certain way or value things based on all those forces put together. And I can give an example. One of our 2015 trends is called entrepreneur, where young people are increasingly starting their own business rather than taking a traditional job. We're used to saying a new business will be the next first new job. And this started from an intersection of several forces, you know, comfort with and access to technology. They grew up in a world where both parents were working, distrust in institutions, lack of trust, a failing economy with bleak job prospects. And the point is just that these kind of intersect together to create the conditions under which trends kind of evolve.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're discussing trends with Marty McGough. He's Vice President for Market Insights at Campos Research Strategy. The term trendsetter is often used as a compliment, but again, who decides what a trend is?
Well, believe it or not, there are people called trend spotters, and they specialize, in spotting trends. In some ways, they basically roam the streets of our major cities. They listen, they watch, they pick up on changes in people's behaviors and attitudes. Many of them tend to work with one industry, so fashion or technology, for example, or they work for companies that sell trend forecasts to businesses. At Campos, where I head up our trends initiative, we find our top trends a number of different ways. We follow these trend spotters and what they have to say. We monitor public opinion polls. I mean, anyone in Pittsburgh can go. It's kind of fun to Pew Charitable Trusts and look at the polls about where people stand in society and what they think about government and what's going on in their lives. We're active in listening to social networks and taking place conversations, taking place in blogs, and we stay up on the news. So we use all that information to generate our trends.
So tell us what is currently trending in Pittsburgh. Folks are dying to know.
Yeah, I'll do it on two levels. The first, which is funny that you asked this, I don't know if people know this, but Pittsburgh is a big test market. So that means when new businesses are starting new products, like Coke wants to change the taste of a drink, or someone wants to introduce new laundry detergent, or, you know, it's a test market. A lot of people come here and test it in Pittsburgh because they feel that people from Pittsburgh are kind of representative of the country. We're close to West Virginia. We're close to Ohio. We're close to New York. We're in the Northeast, the Midwest, the South. So we're already – there might be some trend spotters out there in the streets of Pittsburgh we don't even know about. But one really good example is a trend we call lasting spaces. Now, as a little genesis of this, for years there's been a local movement, you know, buy local – firms are buying, local goods and services to produce. You know, local's been around for a little while. But companies are now having to show community impact and lasting involvement. And a really good example of lasting spaces is Kevin Sosa's Superior Motors in Braddock. He started a restaurant there. And it's been labeled the Community Farm Restaurant and Ecosystem. It's this whole urban renewal and restaurant concept.
Yeah, we've had him here to talk about it.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, I remember actually listening. So, but the point is that he starts a restaurant, but he offers culinary training for locals. He starts a co-op in a building that was underused. He only buys dishware from on-site potters, local craft beers. He partners with Meals and Wheels. He has a green house on the roof. He gets everything from Braddock Farms and Springboard Kitchen. And the point of lasting spaces is that you're seeing companies becoming more involved in communities where they're actually physically building lasting spaces for their kind of corporate social responsibility efforts.
Anything else in particular? Well, in the few seconds we have left, any other big trend in Pittsburgh?
No, I think that's the one that I've noticed the most.
And that was certainly a very creative one. And,
yeah.
And one that it required some insight, foresight on a entrepreneur's part. Well, it's interesting, the topic of what makes a trend and how long it lasts and how it differs from a fad. We've got an explanation from Marty McGuff, Vice President of Market Insights for Campos Research Strategy, joining us in studio. Marty, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Tomorrow, we'll look at the resignation of State Treasurer Rob McCord and what it means for the future of the state. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.